Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to Dear Old World, my podcast where I bring on friends to talk about our creative lives and journeys. This week, my guest is the very funny, the very talented Ryan W. Garcia. You may know Ryan as Eddie Dantes, aka Edward DeVere in Edgar Allan Poe's Murder Mystery Dinner Party. You may know him as Polly Tahoe, our own heistmonger? That's not a word. Heisty guy from Headless, a Sleepy Hollow story. He's a good friend of Shipwrecked Comedies. We always put him in stuff because he's just so good. And he is also in all kinds of other things. You have heard his voice in Big Nate on Paramount Plus or Nickelodeon. And you might have seen him in This Could Be on Broadway with the Tin Can Brothers. You might have seen him in, I don't know, other stuff. He was on Community. He's in all kinds of stuff. And right now, he is in a play called Ava at the Geffen, which is a very big theater here in Los Angeles. Very exciting for him that he's in that. Ava, The Secret Conversations, which is a new play written by and starring Elizabeth McGovern, which is very exciting. And Ryan is in it, and you can go see it. It is playing for all of April and the first week of May. So if you enjoy this chat with Ryan, definitely go check that out. And as always, just a reminder that this episode is extended on my Patreon, and there are like over 30 other episodes of this show over there at patreon.com/mkwiles, which is how you can hear more and or support me if you like this. All right, I think that is enough intro. Let's go ahead and get chatting with Ryan Garcia. We're here. Hi, Ryan Garcia. Sorry.
Hello, Mary Kate Wiles.
Ryan W. Garcia.
Thank you. There's a very famous Ryan Garcia who really ruined it for me.
I'm so sorry.
He's a boxer.
I don't know if we talked about this, but I think Sean is the second or third Sean Persaud on IMDb. And the other guy is like a DJ who was in one like Disney movie years ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Is that a guy SAG? Like that affect his SAG?
It didn't, I guess, because I'm pretty sure his SAG name is just Sean Persaud. Although, to be fair, Sean Persaud is a pretty common name. There are many Sean Persauds out there.
I never would have thought that.
I didn't know that either, but I do time to time search his name on Twitter, and he's certainly not the only one.
When Facebook was first a thing, I remember looking up on there every other Ryan William Garcia.
Oh, yeah?
And there were quite a few. There were about 20.
Oh, wow.
And so I made, back when like Facebook groups were a new thing, I think I was part of a Family Guy group. And then I also had my Ryan William Garcia group. And we were all buddies for about 6 months and then never spoke again.
That's really funny. I actually, saying that made me think of the other night I went to a screening of a movie that a bunch of our friends did called Pretty Problems. And the girl checking in, I was just like, hi, I'm Mary Kate Wiles. And she was like, my name's Mary Kate too. And I was like, what? Because that's not something that I experienced a ton.
You see, I would have thought Mary-Kate would be a more common than Sean Persaud.
Nah. I mean,
wow.
Maybe, but I've only met a couple.
Do you think maybe, because I feel like it's one of those multi-name things. Like, I feel like there's a lot of Mary-Kates maybe in the South.
There's like, yeah, but it's also more like Mary Beth.
Sure.
I feel like Mary Beths are more common than Mary Kates.
That makes sense to me.
I have met a few, like the one that I met the other night, which is very exciting. But my name woes are different in that it's just there's a very famous Mary Kate, and people constantly feel compelled to bring that up when they meet me, which is
that makes sense.
Annoying.
Do you like? I know, like Ryan means something in like the Irish culture. Does Mary Kate? Do you know if it means anything?
I don't know if it means anything. I know that separately, Mary means bitter, and Catherine, as we know, in the Hebrew, Mary means bitter. And Catherine, as we know from the first episode of Headless, means pure, which, of course, Ichabod talks about.
So, like, if I went to a mixologist at a bar in Silver Lake, and I was like, give me the Mary Kate, they'd be like, oh, you mean the pure bitters?
Pure bitters, baby. That sounds terrible.
I'll just have a Mary Kate on ice.
What does Ryan mean?
Little king.
Little king, and that's right. What you are.
That's what I am.
You're not little, though.
Well, there, I'll say I do wear a small size shirt.
Well, there you go. Boy, Ryan, there's so much to talk about with you. I don't even know where to begin.
Let's get into it.
You are doing so many things at all times. I don't know. I guess we'll start with Headless since, of course, when we're recording this, you just made your first appearance. Although by the time I put this up, you probably will have made your entire appearance in the show. But lucky you, you're in the show. You are in 3 episodes, which is more than any other head.
I didn't know I made a third. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember that I made a third episode.
Yeah, that's... you span.
Well, and does that include my saxophone playing?
Oh, that doesn't. So you're actually in 4 episodes.
I'll be credited on IMDb with 4 episodes.
Thanks so much for playing the sax for us.
Yeah, it really, I'll tell you, that was a very short. That was like 8 measures worth of music, and it took me so long.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's good because it reminded me like I should just be doing this. Like I want to be good at saxophone. I want to spend, so it forced me into a place of practice, and so I really appreciated it.
Well, we appreciated that you were willing to do it because we really wanted sax for that musical cue. And Dylan was pretty hesitant because he doesn't like, I guess, how like the fake sax sounds on his, you know, whatever that he uses
like
to
synthy,
do all that.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were like, well, we know somebody who plays a little saxophone.
Very loose. A little. But see, like little king, little saxophone.
That's the lesser known meaning of the name Ryan.
That's right. Little sax.
Well, it sounds great. You fooled us.
Headless is coming out great, by the way.
Thank you very much.
It looks so good.
So stupid proud of it. And that's also why I'm daily beating down the doors to make the internet watch it.
Internet, come on. Watch it. Like every episode, like it's funny how you see the posts of like, I know I said the last one was the best episode yet, but this one is the best episode yet. And it feels like it does keep happening. Like the minces in this last episode.
Yeah.
Dying.
That's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. I'm a little nervous now. I didn't really expect that to be that does truly seem to be the main consensus. Obviously, we're only hearing the people who are feeling positive enough to make a comment, but everybody is like, how does each episode keep getting better? And I'm like, at what point do they not feel that way? And I'm nervous.
Well, you're nervous. Mine's the next episode.
I think they'll love it. It's so fun.
Oh, good.
I think.
Well, you know what's great is that at least you're not attracting the trolls. You haven't gotten to that status.
That is true.
But you might get there soon. You might turn a corner and start attracting in the trolls, you know?
Just want more people to watch it. Although I do think we've gotten a few, like a sprinkling of not so positive comments, which is like, all right, well, we're reaching more people. So that's good.
You want to get to that tipping point.
Yeah, exactly. But we were all on that like note, we were all a little like, uh-oh, like is episode 7? It felt like filler episode a little bit to us because episode 6 with Lauren is like very intense and funny. And then episode 8, of course, is the heist, which is very fun. And episode 7 is kind of this weird in between. But then the more we watched it, we were like, actually, this is kind of a banger episode. And everybody seems to agree. So I'm glad.
I mean, it's got 2 heads in it.
It's got 2 heads. And
which is great.
I'm genuinely so pleased that people are so excited about Polly Tahoe, which they are. And also that shot where you emerge is maybe my favorite shot in the whole series. And people are adequately appreciating it, which makes me happy.
I love that shot. It was such a fun shot to do, such a fun shot to watch back. And also, I remember that take specifically because it was the only take, I think, that I didn't spit out the apple before I set my line.
We had that shot was such a difficult shot to do because it's a long shot and there obviously like there's this big movement and there's just like a lot of moving pieces a part of the shot. And I think we did it a few times. We did it at least like 4 or 5 times, I think.
We did it more than that, I think, because we also at first I was like, throw the apple and I won't look. And we said, no, Ryan, you're not allowed to do that because it hit that glass. And that glass, like, if we break this glass, we're ruined.
Yeah, we'll owe $1 million.
And then also on it, I was ducking down behind there, but Tom had already ducked down behind there. and his sword would poke into me as I went down, because that sword is like serious in that scabbard.
It's a real sword. It's very intense. You guys were like, had to both be behind that bar counter. Thank you. And like, obviously Tom's wearing a couch, so like, there's just a lot, but it looks so flipping cool. And I'm really excited that everybody's excited about Poly Tahoe. I want to say a just fun behind the scenes tidbit. Again, of course, once people are listening to this, they will have seen your main episode. You were doing your whole like monologue about the heist there, because a lot of that is in VO, but like you were actually doing it on set. Mm-hmm. And I think Gabe fell in love with you. He was so... He was like, this guy is incredible. I've never seen him so like in awe of another human being as he was of you doing your Poly Tahoe thing.
It was a big moment for me as a little king to have a big prince like that notice you and be into you. It was important.
Gabe is indeed a prince.
I think that's the day that I went from a little king to a medium king.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, I grew one size.
Have you played like a Danny Ocean character before?
I don't think I have. I have played like suave type characters, but usually they're kind of like not nice people.
I wouldn't know. I don't know that I'd say that Polly's nice. Yeah.
No, but they're like more outwardly, right? They're more like outwardly not nice. Like I remember this one character who he was just kind of like, it was clear he was like a trust fund baby. And I think I actually wore that same suit for it. For a friend's short film.
It's a good suit. Thanks for wearing it.
It was great. I just got it dry cleaned. Ooh. And I almost wear it to every wedding I go to.
It's a good suit, so I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't say where it's from because they're not paying me.
You know, they should be.
I'm wearing a shirt from that place right now.
Oh, really?
Express. It's from Express.
And
I'm
wearing, they do good stuff.
They do great. And it's also like their stuff fits me off the rack. I just pick it up and it works.
So there you go. You really kill this role. Also, it's, Sean, I don't know if people know, but the Ocean's movies are his like number one. He loves a heist. So
how do you feel about the Ocean's movies?
I like them. I have
did
watched
you like Ocean's 8?
I did like Ocean's 8. I mean, you know, it was fine. It was good. I don't generally understand what's going on, but I still enjoy it.
Even though they start the movie with saying, here's all the things we're going to be doing.
It's still really confusing.
Sure. Yeah. The one that's less confusing is if you watch the old Frank Sinatra one. Have you ever seen that one?
Oh, really? I haven't seen that one.
Well, but it's back in the basics.
Yeah, we do have a poster of it around here somewhere.
That makes sense.
But yeah, no, Sean has been wanting to put a heist in something for a long time because it's his fave. So this is just like dreams coming true across the board for lots of people.
I mean, me too. The moment I went and I watched the episode and I went and showed my wife, though not the one everyone has seen at this point, because I haven't seen it, but the one where I enter, and she watched it back 3 times, the entrance, and she's like, this has to be in your reel now.
It's really good. It's really fun. I'm so glad. And yeah, I'm glad everybody's really excited for Poly.
That was such a great time on set. And also I felt like on set, there were times when it was, and maybe you've already talked about this a bunch of times, but aggressively hot or aggressively cold. And there didn't feel like there was a middle ground.
No, there wasn't. Do you feel like you were usually hot or were you usually, or both?
I was usually hot.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
This isn't about set. This is just about like the days, like the weather.
Yeah.
It wasn't about, you don't have to apologize for the weather.
Well, my memories of Headless are generally cold. Like generally we were very cold, but that was also when we were like shooting outside and at night, and you were not a part of those particular days.
Right.
So
would you like to apologize for those times I wasn't there as well?
Yeah, I actually would.
Okay. Welcome to the patriarchy. Women feel like they have to apologize for everything.
It's true. But yeah, you were great. I'm really excited for people to see your whole episode because it's very fun and you're such a great sport, and you had to come to set quite a few times for considering the heads were generally meant to be like, oh, this is like a smaller part that won't take up too much of your time because you're all very like famous and busy people.
It was great. It reminded me of the Poe party because it was That's like, true. Oh, this character's here and he dies right. Oh, no. Spoiler. This is a spoiler for the Edgar Allan Poe murder mystery dinner party.
Which, if you haven't seen at this point,
Eduardo Dantes. I die in my soup at the beginning. Uh-huh. And yet I was in a lots of episodes because of flashbacks and then because of the end. So there was like a lot more time spent there, just like this.
It's so true. Thanks for being that person for us, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The pinch hitter. The little king.
Yeah. The little king. Exactly. Well, working with Shipwrecked is certainly not the only thing you've got going on. You are doing so much cool voiceover stuff. You just got back from doing a show in Edinburgh, and that's just a couple things. Tell me about all these things.
Yeah, these are all great things. Edinburgh was a dream. I went there in 2019 because there's the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and I had a great time, to answer your question. And I went there in 2019 with a show, and I only did the first 10 days of the show, and somebody else came in and took over the role, and then someone else came and took over for them because we all were like, I don't want to commit to a whole month. And after that time, I realized, like, what am I doing? This is a dreamland. And doing theater out there, the population of Edinburgh triples when they have the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Because there's over 3,000 plays happening.
Wow.
And so getting to take this last play was incredible. Tom the Trinis, the Headless Horseman himself, was there. Lauren Lopez, the lead of our show, also there. And performing with them was, and also Tommy Lenk and Justin Elizabeth Sayer, who's the writer. They are all just so incredible to work with. And it really felt like, we also had a great time slot because, you know, the show is throughout the day. Our show was at 8:30 p.m. So it felt like I had almost like a Broadway schedule in Edinburgh. So I just got to live all day and explore Scotland and then at night do a show with these amazing beauties. And I really love that, like, I've gotten a chance, like, in this crazy career out in L.A., being able to do a lot of theater and a lot of, like you were saying, also voiceover. So it's like that expanded nature of it has been excellent. And the other show, I'll just talk a little bit longer, but Nickelodeon, Big Nate, so fun. You know, so Ben Giroux, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We go so way back.
So way back. I'm actually going to see him soon because they're having like an art gallery hangout at Nickelodeon Animation Studios.
Oh, my God. That's
for
awesome.
Big Nate stuff. So we're all going there to meet up.
That's so cool.
And Ben does this thing that's really fun, which is voiceover battle. And he has, you know, your character battle there. I think one of your co-stars,
Carlos Alazraki, was on, who, of course, is the original Crocker in The Fairly Odd Parents. I'm wearing my Fairly Odd Parents shirt.
Yeah, you are.
And that was really sweet because they made a little shout out to me on
they
Instagram.
Did?
Yeah, it made me feel really good. And then, of course, he had Grey Delisle on as well, who's the original Vicky.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, he's hobnobbing with some big folks, although Carlos Alazraki will also be in Shipwreck's next project, Case of the Greater Gatsby. So it's just, you know, a small world getting smaller all the time.
Yep. Do you know anything? I know you probably can't talk about it here. Maybe you have to talk to me offline, but do you know anything? Just use like your face to give me answers. Do you know anything about the show coming back, going forward?
Oh, about Fairly Odd Parents? I can tell you what I know, which isn't much.
Great.
Great. I will say, like, not that I'm jealous. I'm so happy that, like, it seems like Big Nate has been such a success, and I'm so pleased. They're, like, really pushing it, and I'm so happy for you all. That has not exactly been the experience with The Fairly Odd Parents, but it is coming. It just actually, last night, they did, like, a sneak peek premiere on Nickelodeon of the first two episodes, one of which is one of my episodes, and then they are going to start airing it on Nickelodeon proper in November weekly. So that's exciting. But
just
beyond
to
that,
put you in
I don't
an
know.
Equal footing zone.
Okay.
Big Nate has not felt the way
no?
it has felt on the outside, not at
really?
All. Also, it's been over 2 years that we've been doing
right.
Big Nate.
Right, sure.
And
sure.
In the beginning, there was like, okay, we're doing one season, but we're not sure what else is going to happen. And then they're like, okay, we're picking up 10 episodes for season two, but that's it.
Oh, really?
And I think they wrote 16, and then they were like, okay, we're picking up six more. And then there was no chatter about it. And then one day it exploded.
Wow. Interesting. You know? But you guys did you do a full second season? You did, yeah?
Yeah, but we got it in three pieces.
Interesting.
Like they would pick up another 10 and then another 6. So now it's at 26.
Oh, I see.
But initially it was just 10 and then it was 20. And then they picked up the last 6 to make it a full second season.
Have you guys recorded all of the second season?
No, we've recorded up through episode, I believe they've recorded up through episode 18.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
At this point. And I think they've written through like 22.
Oh, okay. So it's 24. Very much still in the process.
Still in the process. They've only released, I think, 16 total episodes on Paramount Plus, and then they're doing the other ones on Nickelodeon. But again, everything's been very like, I don't know.
That's how it's been on our end, too. It's been so up in the air. I mean, and I don't mean to compare the two because they're obviously so different. It's just that I know you guys. And so, and they're both shows that are Nickelodeon shows that were for Paramount Plus originally.
That's what I think. I think there's a very big similarity of, I think you could turn around tomorrow and then suddenly there'll be Fairly Odd Parents stuff everywhere.
I hope
like,
that's
true.
They
don't talk about it and then it just happens. You know, like it's just, it's very much like emblematic of this whole career where it's like, so in flux and you have no idea or and you got no control over any of it.
I hope that that is also true of Headless, that it feels like nobody's watching and then all of a sudden everybody's watching. I don't know. It's been interesting for sure. It's also like, I think that we have a similar situation where it's like nobody really knew what was going on. And like, I guess with Paramount Plus being involved, it's a little more nebulous. Whereas like, because our showrunners are from Henry Danger and Danger Force, which is one of Nickelodeon's most popular shows.
Right.
But that's just Nickelodeon. And I think like their experience has been much different with this, like with it being a Paramount Plus thing. And I'm kind of hoping that Paramount Plus may just kind of give it all to Nickelodeon and let it just kind of be a Nickelodeon thing now. But again, it's all been very like nebulous and we're not really sure what's going on. And it's frustrating because we really thought like the atmosphere on set when we were shooting last year was like, oh my gosh, this show's going to go for 6 seasons. This is so great. Like there's no way this show is not going to be a success. And then you just kind of wait around and you're like, I don't know.
Don't spend the house money yet. But like, This tends to be, I think that all those similarities are true, and I think that tends to be the path that they're like, they're making decisions behind the scenes that we have no idea about, but it seems like the fact that it's going on Nickelodeon now and in November, that's very good and in your favor, and my fingers are crossed, and hopefully everyone that's listening to this watches Headless and then goes and DVRs and watches all the Fairly Odd Parents.
Two very, very different shows for your enjoying pleasure.
And they also watch Big Nate. They watch a lot of Big Nate.
So, yeah, tell me where is all of Big Nate's on Paramount Plus, the first season?
Not of the whole first season. It's weird, right? It's weird that they put it out because they like dropped 8 episodes. And then they drop another 8 episodes, but a season is 26 episodes. So they made it seem like 2 seasons dropped on Paramount Plus, but really it's just 2/3.
I see.
Of the first season. But it's been great. It's all on Paramount Plus that is available now, and it's coming out Friday nights. I believe it's 7:30 p.m.
on Nickelodeon
Central
as well.
On Nickelodeon.
Okay.
It's been so fun. I've talked about it that like in the pilot episode, because the way we record the episodes is we all get on Zoom and record.
Even still. Wow.
And the whole cast is there and we read through the whole show scene by scene, recording each scene twice and then doing pickups. But it's all these group records.
So you guys are all recording like on your own. So you've all got to have like a pretty solid setup.
Like one person didn't have a solid setup and they helped her build one.
Wow.
Carolyn Hennessy, who's amazing, like Hollywood royalty. She's amazing. And then what was great is that in that first episode, a lot of actors weren't there. And so they needed some people. And my character only had one line in the first episode. So the director, Mitch Watson, said, Ryan, can you fill in for these other characters? And so I was like, yeah, I'll step up to the plate. And I did a bunch of different voices.
I bet you did.
And because of that, I now have like, I've recorded, I think, 18 different characters on the show.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Four of which are recurring.
Wow. That's amazing, Ryan.
Yeah. But I think it's just because like, you know, that opportunity came up.
Yep.
And I was like,
I mean, that's how you got it. That's how it's got to be. That's how you always got to be ready for something like that.
It's so much luck.
is how much of everything happens. It's just like, oh, we need somebody. You ready? Okay.
Yeah. That's how I got my first TV job, which was Community. It was a same day audition. It was like, can you be at CBS Radford today at 1 o'clock?
Man.
And I was like, yeah. And I went in off book, did it. And they're like, great. You come back tomorrow and shoot. And then I got there the next day and I shot my one scene and Dan Harmon came into, I was up at Crafty and Dan Harmon came over on a Segway and jumped off his Segway and said, hey, you're not going to Costa Rica tomorrow, are you? Because I want to use you in more scenes. I was like, yeah, great, for sure. It's like, that's all right. And he jumped crazy. Back onto his Segway and I never saw him until the next day.
Wait, so how many episodes of Community were you in?
Just one.
Oh, just the one.
Even though now they're getting a movie and they been shamelessly posting, bring back Domingo.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, yeah. Shameless. Yeah.
No, it's not shameless. I'm here for it. I also want that.
I love that you said it is not shameless, which would mean you think that it's shameful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, Ryan, it's not shameless. You should feel really bad about this.
I'm sorry. My brain is mush.
No, it was amazing.
But you should feel bad.
Thank you. That's right. I knew it was coming. I was a medium king, but I'm back where I belong.
Oh, my goodness. But Big Nate is not your only voiceover stuff that you've been doing recently. You have some other big stuff, too.
Yeah. Russ Nickel, who has written with William Joseph Stribling. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard of him quite a bit. He was writing a video game in, I want to say, Sweden.
Yeah,
I always get Sweden and Switzerland mixed up. So Sweden.
Oh, yeah, that's understandable.
It's just the SWA. The American mindset of like, it's not on this side of the world.
Yeah.
he's running a video game and I did scratch audio for the video game. Kind of another situation similar to Big Nate where I did a bunch of different voices.
Mm-hmm.
And then producers at PlayStation were like, well, why don't we just use this guy? And
that's
so
amazing.
I just recorded my first legit recording with them.
Oh, you did?
While I was in Scotland, I had to build a sound booth in Scotland.
That's crazy.
Because I had to do 3 episodes of Big Nate and this video game recording over there.
Wow.
And with the hour difference, it meant that I was running from my show that, you know, ended at 9:30, get out of costume, run home, and get into my sound booth to start recording at 10 for Big Nate and go until 2 a.m.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
But so I recorded for that game there's just been a trailer, I think, that got leaked illegally. But yeah, so did that.
That's great.
So that's great. I was, you know, it's interesting you say voiceover is because like I was filmed for the movie Nope with Jordan Peele, but only my voice made it. So now it's a voiceover gig, but I'm still in the credits and you can hear me.
It's so wild.
And I'm thinking the director's cut's going to come out with my big face on
it. I love that. Yeah, I want that for you.
Yeah.
And you also did some other like animated movie or something with a firefighter guy.
Oh, yeah. That and a Disney one, The Descendants, The Royal Wedding.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Where I played Pain of Pain and Panic.
Oh my God, you did not. That's amazing.
And then, Fireheart, where I play Ricardo.
Okay.
Which is my first ever voiceover job where they flew me out to Montreal.
Man.
To record.
Killing it.
It's been really fun. That was right before the pandemic. So it was a great, one last, fly somewhere to do a job.
Well, I'm not surprised because you're great.
Mary Kate.
It's true.
What is that? Bitter, pure. You bitter, pure person. Thank you.
Pure bitters over here. You are great. Anytime, it's just like I can ask you to do anything for anything and you always kill it. So I'm not surprised.
Oh, thanks.
It's true. And
it's always a blast to work with you and all of you.
That's the thing. You also always say yes, which I think not that you have to, but that is like such a huge part of, getting to do stuff in this industry is being willing to say yes to stuff.
But that's what I think, too. Like, even the scratch audio thing. At that point, I had booked 3 voiceover gigs, and it had been very easy for me to be like, this doesn't pay enough.
Right, right.
I'm a real voice. Like, it's like, no, this is my friend, and I want to be a part of the projects they do because they're also very talented.
Yeah.
And so it's like, always saying, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, That's how Parvesh has, like, I was talking to him on another episode, and he's obviously, like, also constantly working. And I was a little bit like, we kind of can't believe you said yes to come hang with us. And he's like, there's no reason to not say yes to things as long as, 100%. Like, you can, you know, make it work in your schedule or whatever, especially when it's people that you like.
Yeah, I think yes to say yes. And also, I've actually gotten very clear on when to say no, because I never want to back out. You know, I never, like, if I say yes, I'm going to do it. But I never want to say yes if I'm going to, like, feel bad. Like, I'm not going to say yes if it's people that aren't professional or are going to take advantage of my time, you know? And because then I know I'm saying yes to having a lot of bad feelings.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? And like, when it's thinking about, like, okay, how do I want to spend my life and who do I want to spend my time around? When it's like, oh, do I want to spend my time around Pure Bitters and one of the Sean Prasads? Then yeah, of course I do.
One of the many Sean Prasads? Yeah, that's what I want. Well, I do totally think you are right. And I don't want anybody to take the wrong message of, like, you always have to say yes to stuff. You should always say yes to stuff that you're excited about and want to be a part of and is going to be a positive situation. And I think,
because
thankfully,
go ahead. Sorry. I have said yes to things and then been in that situation and been, wow, I really don't like being here.
Yeah.
And I've got to give it my all because I said yes. And all this is a lesson of next time, make sure when I'm saying yes, that it is something I want to be a part of.
I feel like for the most part, not that, like, that can't still happen, but, like, we've been doing this for a while and we've all done that sort of thing. And you go, okay, I've figured out, like, who I like working with and what I want and what's worth my time. And so it gets easier to know, obviously, like, if something is something you want to do. And I think we all, you know, those of us who are creating our own stuff, like Shipwrecked or like Tom is always doing so much theater stuff and 30-minute musicals or whatever, you know, all these folks are people who are, like, whether or not the budget is very exciting, trying to make it a good, fun, positive situation for everybody as much as they can. So
yeah, and the way you're talking about how the world just gets smaller and smaller and smaller is it's just be really good to people and kind to them and enjoyable to work with.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if I didn't know you and I was asked to do one of these things, just be like, oh, they know Tom. Tom, should I do this? And he would say, oh, God, she is the worst. Do not
Don't do it.
Yeah. And, like, that would never be the case because that's just not the case.
Yeah, it is true. And it's nice that, you know, we've all sort of been able to develop a community where we can lean on each other and speak for each other and what have you.
What have you?
Do you have other things that are coming down the pipeline that besides this video game?
Other things that are coming down the pipeline. I mean, right now I am teaching a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been teaching these little kids that are pop stars.
And is that still going?
So it's now, well, I was teaching them to prepare them for a movie. That, you know, Patrick Kavanaugh, right? Yeah, because he's worked with all y'all.
He was supposed to be in Gilded Lily, and then he had to drop out, and we cast Gabe. Yeah.
Was that the first time you'd worked with Gabe, or no?
We didn't know Gabe really at all.
Wow, so Patrick Kavanaugh is responsible for Gabe.
We have Patrick Kavanaugh to thank, actually.
Wow. Thank you, Patrick Kavanaugh. Well, I have Patrick Kavanaugh to thank, too, because I was prepping these actors for a movie that they were shooting. They're a pop group called Now United, which is repped by Simon Fuller, who started American Idol and all that, and the Spice Girls and S Club 7.
Wow.
I was prepping them for that. And in the process of prepping them, Simon was like, oh, you should play the director in this movie. And it conflicted with Edinburgh. And so I said, well, I can't because I'm going over there, but you should use Patrick Kavanaugh. And so Patrick Kavanaugh did that with them.
Oh, wow.
And he said it was a great experience and they all did a wonderful job. But now I'm going to be teaching what I was initially meeting with this company for in the first place, which is teaching these kids for this this new show they're creating called The Academy, which will be – there's going to be like three different departments. There's going to be a vocal department, singing, and then a dancing, and then an acting. And I'm kind of running the acting department. And so you'll be able to follow these 16, 18 to 23 year olds as they go through this program.
Oh,
and it'll be like an interactive course that I either think they're putting on Netflix or something else. And so we're doing a test shoot for that on Thursday.
Oh, wow. So it's like reality, kind of.
It's a little bit like reality. It's a little bit like Masterclass, but instead of following like one teacher, you're kind of following the students through the course, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm doing that with them. I don't know how it's going to go. I have no idea.
So you are in the show then, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How does that work? Like, is it SAG? Like, what?
I don't know if reality TV is like reality TV covered by SAG.
But I'm assuming you're getting paid for it.
I am getting paid for it, yes.
But is it like a, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Is it like let a residual situation? Like, how does that work?
Right now we're just doing a test shoot. So there's full contract for the full thing. They actually, I'll be honest here. They offered me a job to create the program and develop it. Uh-huh. And it would mean working 40 hours a week with them. Uh-huh. And it would mean that I couldn't act or
so
audition.
You said no. Yeah.
So I had to say no. I'd rather be working as a teacher at the and I also do self-taping and coaching and all that, and then making little bits of money here and there, or even acting for free because I love acting so much. So to have someone say you can't do that for a year is just, it's too much.
Yeah, of course. Of course I had to say no.
An example of when to say no. Then they came back to me about a week later and they said, well, can we have you come in like once a month? And we would hate to not have you be a part of this project.
How did you get connected with this in the first place?
My buddy Brent Bailey, who is the working guest commercial actor. If anyone in there has ever pumped their gas at a Shell station, you've seen Brent Bailey in a suit giving you his little smile.
Many listeners may know him from Emma Approved, which he did with Joanna Sotomura.
But Brent Bailey, he was the best man at the casting person's wedding.
Oh.
For this job. And so she went to him saying, I need an acting teacher, because they'd been through a few. And I think the issue is that a lot of them were like, this is my process. I do not break from my process.
Sure.
And they were like, well, we need something different because we need it for this program. And like, if you can't be malleable, then we can't work with you. So she was looking for somebody. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do whatever.
Well, I think you are I'm sure you're a great teacher. I know you teach a lot, and I can see you being really great at it, even though I myself have never sat in on any teaching that you've done. But
well, I have some notes, so whenever you're ready, you just let me know.
Yeah, I will, and you can invoice me later. Yeah. That's so cool. And also, just so random.
So random.
Bizarre how things happen. I'm proud of you for... Yeah, sticking with what you want to do. I think that is ultimately for the best.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, I have some questions from my patrons. Would you be open to answering them?
Can I whisper all my answers?
Yeah, except Rory will hate it.
And Bex. I hope it's Bex out there somewhere. Maybe not.
Probably. Okay, let's see. We kind of talked about this. James says, I'm wondering how his individual experience was on Headless and in general, just how he's doing in life.
We kind of got into the life stuff. My experience on Headless was like, I came in and I was like, oh, this is a machine. Like there were so many people on set working so hard it was so exciting to see that. Like it really did. It really felt like, and it also felt like, okay, so they're shooting this over here, but they already have another team in another location setting up that location. Like it was so efficient and so well organized.
Thanks.
And it also felt like everyone was having a wonderful time on set. I'm sure that you were stressed.
I was.
And Sean was stressed, and Sinead was stressed, and Sarah was stressed, but you guys all held such positive attitudes through that.
I'm glad.
So it was, it just felt like, oh, I'm taken care of. This is a very well run set here.
Makes me feel very good that generally that seems to be the consensus on Shipwreck sets. And I honestly, I'm not quite sure how, but I'm really glad.
I think it's you just keep bringing in good people.
Yeah, I think so too.
You bring in good people, and like, I don't know what the process is, but I know that like whenever William Joseph Stribling started, he was like, I want to use Alex Galitano. And mm-hmm. there's that aspect of like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust that the people that I bring in are going to bring the people that they need to mm-hmm. do a great job. And I know mm-hmm. Alex has his people as well. Mm-hmm. And so there's like that trickle down, no need to micromanage people yeah. where it's like, hey, if that's your department and this is who you need, then let's yeah. do that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been so lucky that, yeah, everybody is just really great at doing their thing. And right. that's like, you have to, because there's just too much for any one person to do ever.
100%.
But yeah, I'm really happy that you felt that way.
I did.
That's cool. I hope
just
we...
pure bitters the whole time.
I hope we can always have sets that are really fun to be on that feel like they're moving efficiently, even though we are probably not so silently freaking out.
Yeah. Oh, and then one of the crazy things was that when we shot at that soundstage... It yeah. was the same soundstage that my wife's movie, My Fiona, filmed at.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I was there, I was like, oh, my gosh. We shot a bar scene that they had gotten rid of the bar since.
Oh, and, interesting. I didn't know that.
And this whole, like, CGI outdoor lantern scene that opens the movie. We filmed that in that soundstage. Yeah.
Where we did the jail stuff?
Yes.
That's crazy. I didn't know.
I know.
That's funny because Christina also was like, my first shoot ever was here. That, I personally would not go back to that.
Sure. Everyone does their first there and then they don't come back.
Yeah. But it looks good for what we needed and we could afford it. So
it's serviceable and affordable. And I also got this amazing picture of Tom in the Headless uh-huh. Horseman outfit uh-huh. from the back walking uh-huh. his little dog that he brought to set.
Yeah.
And it is the funniest looking thing.
It's really fun. Yeah, I love that. Maddie wants to know, how do you prepare for voice acting differently than from on-camera acting? And also, is there anything you enjoy about voice acting more than on-camera or vice versa?
Yeah, so the difference between preparing for voice acting, there's not a lot of difference except that there's no memorization.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to, like, release that pressure. I think there's so much freedom that comes from that of like, oh, the words are right there.
I agree.
Which I will say, like, memorization is a muscle.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot better at it over time as long as I keep in practice of memorizing stuff. And then what was the second half? Is like, what do I enjoy about one or the other? Mm-hmm. Or
Yeah.
I love that in voice acting. Like, I feel so safe in recordings. Even in if it's in my own studio or in another studio, to say, hold on, I got a better take. Let me do that again. Because it's harder to do that if you have to reset a lot of physical stuff on set. If like, oh, this is a very complicated shot. There's a 100%. Camera move. There's some props. There's a fake glass of wine. We only have two of those. You can't throw multiple ones against the wall. I like that freedom of I don't have to get it right this time. And it allows me to really, like, take risks and try stuff. Not that I don't do that on screen, but there's just that safety net of I can do this another four times and it's not really going to cost much.
Yeah, man.
Time-wise.
Yeah, you're so right. It's just such a different beast in so many ways, just on camera versus voice stuff. And genuinely, to tie it into Shipwrecked a little bit, obviously our next project is going to be our first audio only project. And I think I'm personally pretty excited about that because obviously, like, you lose a lot by not having video, but like it's going to free up so much in terms of what we'll be able to do because we won't be like having to pay for a location and or whatever. I think
also,
we'll be able to like have really long episodes and a lot of characters and like all this stuff. So,
You know, if you have to edit something that you're shooting, like you can find a way to edit around it. But if you're self-taping, you can't do that. Like, so for auditioning, voiceover is very different.
Interesting.
Where if I'm self-taping something, I have to choose this take of that scene or a different take.
Right.
And so if I like this moment more than that moment, I can't do anything about it. But in voiceover, I can be like, oh, I didn't like the way I said that part of the sentence. So I can just re-record that part of the sentence and splice it in.
Yeah.
Which is
use your different takes.
There's so much freedom there. Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. That's so cool. I'm so excited that you've gotten to do so much voiceover stuff.
Me too.
I'm also jealous. I want to do more of it myself.
Let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
I want it to happen.
Rach wants to know, after your trip to the UK, where was the place you most enjoyed visiting?
I really loved going to Isle of Skye, which is in the Highlands of Scotland. And my favorite place out there was there were many beautiful views and hikes, but I really loved going to Dunvegan Castle out in Isle of Skye. It was just this beautiful castle that not only was like the inside of it really well kept and a beautiful tour and all this like old artwork and pieces that were on display there, but also they had like done up the grounds to be beautiful, where other castles, it's just like, this is the castle and this is what it was like. This one was like, hey, this is the castle. Also, the grounds are manicured in a way that are similar to maybe like when the castle was actually in use.
That's so cool.
I really loved going to Isle of Skye. It was scary, one, because you're driving on the opposite side of the road.
Oh, sure.
Two, because you're driving on the opposite side of the car. Like, I'm in the my whole like alignment in my lane was confusing. I'm like, no, I'm on the right side of the lane.
Uh-huh,
on the right.
Uh-huh.
And then also cars, like very skinny streets and cars flying by you at 60 miles an hour.
Super scary.
And then also streets that were just wide enough for a single car.
Right.
With every once in a while a little like turnout available can pass each other. And on those streets, you're literally going in like just these little paved streets in the middle of people's land.
Uh-huh.
And sheep and cows constantly crossing the road to stop you.
How long did you stay in the UK after the show was done to like bop around?
Yeah, we finished the show on like, I think the 27th. And then we did 3 days in the Highlands. And then we did another 4 days in London.
Okay.
Where we stayed with my friend Courtney Hawkins and her husband Karsten.
Oh, does she live there?
So she lives there right now because Karsten is editing a Warner Brothers movie.
Wow.
Which is a movie about Wile E. Coyote suing Acme for faulty products.
Oh my gosh.
It's got John Cena.
That's fun.
And I remember the other name when we hang up for sure.
Yeah.
It's like a very well-known, hilarious actor. But it was cheaper for them to do the editing in the UK, even though they shot it in Albuquerque because of tax credits in London.
Really?
So they moved there. So they're living there for a year. And their daughter is in school there now.
Wow, that's crazy. But then they're going to come back after that?
That's right.
She is in Stellar People, which you are also in, which is a show that Joe Stribling did.
Will anyone ever see it?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's such a bummer. But you guys did that like not that long after we finished Pope Party, maybe like 6 months later or something like that.
Yeah, it was really quick after. And also Lauren Lopez is in that.
But weirdly enough, I don't know Courtney. I don't even know if she knows who I am. We've never spoken to each other. But I had an audition for Danger Force for this role.
For the 1920s Ghost?
Yeah.
And that she got?
That she got. And I was like, Sean and I were both like, if I don't book this, like, and I was on avail for it. And after I didn't book it, the casting were like my agent, they were like, they loved you so much. Like, please don't like feel bad, whatever. And then when I figured out it was her that booked it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. I know her. And then not only that, the director who directed that episode directed multiple episodes of Fairly Odd Parents. And I figured that out and I told him and I was like, actually, like, I almost booked this other episode that you did of Danger Force. And he goes, was it The Ghost?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so we should have a 1920s ghost off, but clearly she won, so it's fine. But I was like, damn, I loved that part.
If you have a mean babysitter off, we know what's going to happen.
That's true. And honestly, well, he also, not that it's like, he was like, well, you should be glad you booked this instead.
Honestly,
I guess I am.
Everything happens for a reason, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure she was great. I could never, I saw like a tiny little clip of it, but I could never find like the full episode. But that was such a fun part.
I remember her audition for that kind of changed my take on auditioning for
really?
Things.
Really? Did you see her audition for it?
I saw what she wore for it.
Uh-huh.
And she like went to Amazon and bought
sure.
1920s things.
Like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I was like, yeah, I should be doing that. So when I did my audition for Dude Fiero,
yeah.
Which then became Dude Calzone because they were afraid of getting sued by Guy
sure.
Fieri.
Sure, sure,
on
sure.
On Side Hustle, I was like, great, I'm going full Guy Fieri.
And you booked it.
And I booked it. Like I bleached my hair with a spray. I made myself a fake goatee.
That's really interesting. I'm glad to hear you say that because I just auditioned for a 1950s thing yesterday. And I mean, thankfully, I have quite a bit of vintage stuff already. But I,
right.
you know, went to the effort of like doing my hair and like.
I think it's right. I think it's like I'm constantly going in with an expectation that they have no imagination
yeah,
and that
I think,
to fill in all the gaps.
I think you're right to do that, which is weird because on one hand, you feel a little weird sometimes. You're like, is this too much? Am I like, oh, you see, I don't know, maybe more so when we were going in person. Like
that's
sometimes
it.
You'd see other actors who like really like came in costume and you're like, this
yeah.
is weird.
It's too much when you're in front of them.
Yeah.
When you're in the same room as them,
yeah.
because then you have like the conversation moment and they're like, I'm talking to a Halloween person.
Yes. And, yes.
But when you're on
you're
tape,
right.
it's all within the scene.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's all contained. So
right.
it doesn't have that like moment where you have to break out and be like, anyway, how are your days going?
Mm-hmm.
And like, no, you still
mm-hmm.
look like a 1950s housewife. Like you
yeah.
don't look like this person.
Yeah, that's so interesting. But yeah, anyway, that's just a weird, funny, the world is just so small.
So
such a small,
small
world.
And I bet you both would have been perfect ghosts. But in the end, like I always think like, why can't they just split this into two roles and everyone get happy?
No,
you know?
It's fine. And again, no hard feelings. And I'm
right.
very proud of like what I did. I still
right.
am like, that's one of the best auditions I've ever done. And I do think it was. And I don't think that's what, you know what I mean? It just came down to like, for whatever reason, you know, and you get it when you're casting things yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, these people are both great, but this
right.
person just feels more like what we want for whatever reason. And it's not like that somebody's better than the other. It's just different.
Like, don't you wish when someone said, like when you meet somebody and they're like, oh, you're an actor, huh? So have I seen you in anything?
Oh my
if
God.
Like you could be like, well, I was on a veil for this, on a veil for that. And like
yeah.
that mattered. Because I would have a lot of impressive things to talk about if
yeah.
a veils and testing for roles mattered.
Well, it's just a shame that like, yeah, there is so much that to us is like being on a veil for something is a success. Like that is a win, you know? Sean was
oh,
just
yeah.
on a veil for a recurring guest that we just found out he did not get. And like, it sucks that like that's a win that no one will ever see. You know what I mean?
I tested for a role in a Mark Cherry show. He did Desperate Housewives.
Oh, wow.
It was for his newer show that's on his third. It was going to be in its third season. God. Oh, Why Women Kill. And I tested for a role, a series regular role in the third season. And then I did the test. I was Mark Cherry's choice and the director's choice for this role. And then the producers came back at Paramount Plus and said, no, on a Monday, on a Friday, on that same Friday, news story came out that they were scrapping the third season entirely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because nobody got the role that I was testing for because they didn't want to pay anybody for a role for a show that they weren't. Because if they had said yes, I would have signed a contract and then gotten paid for a show that never got shot.
Wow, that's wild. That's so, well, I mean,
it's very,
I guess,
it's, in the end, it's validating. And just,
right,
and
at
like,
least you can feel like you would have gotten it, but
totally.
Like still, that's
I think
also,
it would have been a worse emotional roller coaster to
yes.
have found out I booked a role
yes.
and think like, oh my God, this is eight episodes of a
it's going to change my life. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To,
yeah.
And then having been canceled rather than the way it went down.
Yeah. But still, it sucks. And of
Not
course,
wild.
Every time you almost book something, you're already spending that money in your mind and you're like, yay, my.
This was in July too. And I was like, guess I'm not going to Edinburgh because I'm going to
oh.
be in Canada shooting this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What a stupid business we're in.
What
really,
a stupid choice we made.
It
like,
really,
what were we thinking?
I mean, when it's good, it's so good. And when it's
yeah.
good is when we're like making things with our friends and like stuff we generally want to do. But
it's good
when
you're Brent Bailey. Like he books every commercial. He does all these, not to make this a podcast about Brent Bailey, but he, you know, also was in a bunch of those Hallmark type movies.
Oh,
and
sure.
So decided, like, I'm going to write one. And he wrote one, and then he starred in it and got to make it. And man, like, good for him.
That's
good
crazy.
For him to like have that success and then capitalize on it as well.
Sometimes it's great, and other times it's really dumb and the worst.
Yeah.
But
yes,
there's solace in the fact that truly, no matter what level you're at or whatever's happening, something is happening that's great and something's happening that sucks. And it's just always going to be that way. Like,
everybody got problems.
Yeah, you're never going to book every single thing. You're just not.
Did you see the thing that Christian Bale said? He's like, I have Leonardo DiCaprio to thank for my entire career.
No, really?
Because I only ever got roles for things that he said no to.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I think every male actor from that era has him to thank because we just got the things that he said no to.
That's really funny. Oh, to be sloppy seconds to
to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leo DiCaprio. To Leo
DiCaprio. Said every 26-year-old ever.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, this has been a delight. Thank you for joining me today. I think probably most of my listeners already follow you, but if they don't and they would like to, where can they find you?
At Muchos Garcias on Instagram, and I think at Ryan W. Garcia on Twitter and Venmo. I'm gonna get a lot of requests now. Like, give me requests for Ryan W. Garcia to pay you $5 to listen to that podcast.
Be like, I listen to this. You owe me $5. Well, thanks, Ryan. You're the best. And everybody can look forward to seeing and hearing you in many things.
Woohoo!
Yay.
All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Ryan Garcia. He is such a funny person and so freaking talented. It's honestly infuriating. You can catch him on Big Nate on Paramount Plus and Nickelodeon. You can see him in Headless, of course, and Poe Party and American Whoopee, always showing up in the Shipwrecked projects. And you can see him in Ava, The Secret Conversations, running at the Geffen Playhouse here in Los Angeles until May 7th. So go get your tickets for that and support Ryan. Thanks so much to Ryan for allowing me to share this interview with the public. He's great. All right, everybody, I'll be back in a couple weeks with a brand new episode featuring Jamie Lynn Beatty. You might know Jamie from her work with Starkid or her various funny internet videos she's always creating, and it's always weird and wacky and wonderful. And she is a lovely person, and that is a chat that we did back in May of 2021. So stay tuned for that coming in a couple weeks. As always, if you just can't wait, you can go ahead and join my Patreon at patreon.com/mkwiles to get access to lots of old episodes of Dear Old World, including this one and the one coming up with Jamie for only $8 a month. And it also helps support me in making more of the show. Yay. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I will see you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Dear Old World is produced by me, Mary Kate Wiles. The music is by Dylan Glahorn. My podcast art is by Sophie Lesher. And this episode was edited by Lizzie Goldsmith.